Good morning. I have to say that it is quite an encouragement for my family and I to see all of you here this morning. Those of you that have chosen to take some time out of your own life to come here and worship our God and our Father. As we lift our songs and lift our voices up in song with one another to praise Him, as we pray with one another, and also as we open up His Word so that we can come to know and understand what it is that God would want us to do in order to live a righteous life. I'm thankful that you're here. We also have several visitors in our audience this morning. We are also encouraged that you are here and also thankful. And we ask that if you question anything that you hear this morning, if you would please just stay for a few moments after services so that we can get to know you better. And also so that we can discuss with you God's Word and address any question that you might would have. I am not the regular speaker. As it was announced earlier, Brother Wayne and his wife Phyllis are traveling. And we ask that you would keep them in your prayers so that they will return back to us safely. We have had several men to fill in for Brother Wayne while he was away. Men that are talented and capable and willing. And I was just speaking to Brother Dickey about that just a few moments ago. This congregation, we should be very grateful for the number of men that we do have here that are able to do so. Men like Brad and Aaron, John and Heath. And if I know we even have more men than that that are able to step up and to fill in while Wayne is away. But now, if you would please, get your Bibles ready, as we're going to go through several verses this morning. And I would like for us to consider this morning, what does God want? Have you ever asked yourself that question? In one sense, we could read and study this entire book and say that God wants hundreds of things. We could spend decades upon decades describing what God wants. However, this morning, I would like to take just a few moments, and by us looking at God's Word together, I think we can find there is one thing that God does want. And when we grasp this one thing, then everything else that we need to do to follow God will simply fall into place. So this morning, we begin with the question, what does God want? And we'll begin looking at that at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Throughout the Bible, a simple lesson is given. And it begins here with the offspring of Adam and Eve. All the way back in the beginning, God is wanting to impress upon us something and to take into consideration, allow to enter our hearts and enter our minds so that we can govern our actions according to this one simple thing. And we can notice here that God respected Abel and his offering because Abel brought the firstborn of the flock. That simple thing that God wants us to consider is that He wants the first. Also in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16, it states here as God is talking to the Israelites about what they should do when they have their feast and that they do so three times a year. Also, you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also, the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. God asked for the first fruits of the Jews' labor when they considered the feast of harvest. And when you look a little bit further down in verse 19, God tells them what to do with that. And Moses explains to them that they need to take it to the house of the Lord. God asked for the first fruits, and that's what He expected from the Jews. Also, in Deuteronomy chapter 26, if you would please turn over there in your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. 26 and verse 1. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, go to the place where the Lord God chooses to make His name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish. And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. God said, look, I'm going to give you all these things in this promised land. And when you get there, I want you to give me the first. Also turn over to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 17. Again the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering. As a heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you offer it up. Of the first of your ground meal, you shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generations. Not only were they to offer the first of the grain that they would grow and harvest, they were also to offer up the very first loaf that they would make from that grain. The ground meal is the dough they would use to make bread, and they were supposed to give a loaf from the first of their dough to the Lord. But it wasn't just about fruits and grains. Turn over to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens a womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place, and no leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall not eat. You shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, but the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I shall redeem. What does God want? He wants the firstborn. Now, why is that? So that they will remember and be able to pass down how they started in Egypt in bondage, and how it was that God saved them and got them to the promised land. But even more specific than that, back when they were in Egypt, all Egyptians' firstborn died, and the firstborn of Israel's was preserved and saved. Because of that, all the future firstborn of God's people were to be consecrated to God. Turn also over to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 11. Numbers chapter 3, verse 11. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. God took the Levites in place of the firstborn. And then we see something here. The concept of redemption beginning to be taught. When something belongs to God and it has to be saved, there is a price that has to be paid. Something has to take its place. And in order for proper redemption to work, something has to be given. And when we give God the first, it teaches us something. It reminds us of who we are and how we came to be. It was impressed upon the Jews so much under the old covenant about giving God the first that we should not be surprised when we come to passages like this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the context here is this. Jesus is explaining to his apostles that they don't need to be concerned with the physical needs and matters of this world if and only if they put God first. If you seek him and you put him first, then you should have nothing to worry about. Because in a sense, God made us first. He put us first. Let's go back to the old law for just a moment. In Exodus chapter 4, if you would please turn over there. Exodus chapter 4, we'll begin looking at verse 22. Here the Lord is preparing Moses to go back and talk to Pharaoh about the situation of the Israelites. So he's talking to Moses here in verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn. God called Israel his firstborn. We can also see this in Jeremiah chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 3, the prophet Jeremiah here is explaining the impending doom that's about ready to come upon Israel as a whole. They're about ready to face a captivity that they don't even understand. And even so, Jeremiah says something interesting here in verse 3. He refers to the Israelites as holiness to the Lord. At one time, the Jews were considered holy to God. And he also refers to them as something else there, as the first fruits of God. That's what God considered even his own people, his firstborn and his first fruits. What does that have to do with you and me today? Well, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We'll begin looking at verse 4 here in just a moment. But here in the context, Paul is having to deal with the situation of some of the Jews teaching some of the new converts that in order for them to be wholly saved, that not only do they have to be baptized, but the men also have to be circumcised. And of course, that was a false teaching. And Paul actually begins his argument all the way back over in chapter 3. And during this dissertation here of Paul's, when he's laying out why the old law was nullified through Christ, he says some interesting things that parallel to what we've already looked at this morning. And I want you to pay attention to what he says here in verse 4 of chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive, and here it is, the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, remember the bondage that the Israelites found themselves in under Egypt? And the oppression of slavery. Remember the redemption that was made to save them. And here it is, Paul is discussing the nullification of the old law and something better in the redemption of Christ. He calls the ones who have put on Christ, those who have been baptized, sons. We have been adopted. Those of us that have put on Christ, those of us that have been baptized, we have been adopted into this special relationship with God that Israel once had. So now in a sense, we are the firstborn. Now in a sense, we are the first fruits of God. Well, how can we know this for certain? Over in James chapter 1 and verse 18, it states, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Also in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, Paul states, but you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriad of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. We are the firstborn. We are the first fruits of God. And with that, my friends, comes a great deal of responsibility and loyalty. Think about what this means. Just like the people of old of God, God expects something in return for putting us first. But he simply doesn't want our first effort. He doesn't simply want our first fruits. He doesn't simply want our first works. He wants us. And he wants us so badly that he allowed his only son, his firstborn, to be our redemption. Remember how the Levites redeemed the firstborn of Israel and the price that had to be paid? Well, Christ redeemed us, paid the price, so that we can be called God's firstborn. God wants us. Well, now the question is, do we want God? Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So we see here those that claim that they want to follow Christ. "But Lord, I have to put my family first. God, I want to follow you. I want to do what you ask of me, but I can't. There's just something I can't let go of right now. But Lord, I want to follow you, but..." And you fill in the blank. Because all of us, at one time or another, in certain situations, have put something first before our God. All of us. Remember the story of Mary and Martha just over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you would please turn over there with me. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" The implication is that what Martha had chosen would be taken away. But when we give God what's first, that won't be taken away. Oh, but everything else will. If we put God first, nothing can be taken away from you. Nothing. God is not asking us to give anything to him he hasn't already given to us. God gave himself totally us in the form of his Son. Jesus, who is the fullness of deity in bodily form. We must give ourselves completely to him. Our lives must be about him, our works about him, and our efforts about him. If we wish to win the victory in this life, we need to give what is first to Him, and we need to give ourselves to Him. It really is a very simple concept. When somebody you care about gives you a gift, and every time you consider or think about that gift, what does it do? It reminds you of the person who gave it to you and why they gave it. And in turn, if you care about that person, you would give something back, letting them know you care about them as well. If you would please open your psalm books to number 325. Number 325. We'll begin singing that song here in just a moment. There may be someone in the audience here this morning who hasn't taken that first step and given themselves to God, wanting to be baptized and give them their life to Him. I can assure you, if you don't, you'll regret it. Life is a struggle. It is difficult. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this morning that being a Christian is a euphoria lifestyle, because it's not. But what I can tell you is this. I can promise you that you won't face life alone and the difficulties that you will find if you have God with you and you give yourself to Him through baptism. There also may be someone in the audience this morning who has given themselves over to God at one time in their life, but you have faltered and you have fallen short. You know where your responsibilities and your loyalties lie. You know, I mentioned earlier about things that you can lose if you do not put God first. I know all about it. If anyone knows anything about that, it's me who is standing before you right now. There was a time in my life that I was in some very dark places. I didn't put God first. And I can assure you, I can promise you this, that if you make the decision to come back, He will return to you. He will return to you what you need. This morning, I leave you with one final thought. What have you given to God? The opportunity is yours now as we stand and as we sing.